some of that Chex Mix. I'll go do that in the next break. 503-733-2970. Just a moment. We'll go to the Ministry of Truth with Tim Riley. Later on, Jim Roop from CNN Radio Los Angeles. Ed McCarthy is going to be here from the South to talk about Anna Nicole Smith. Delana and Magdy from Rockstar Supernova are going to be here. Storm Large as well. Bill, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. Hey. I thought Freddie Mercury's first name was actually Farouk.
That is true. It is Farouk Balsara. Okay. And he was like, born in like Manzanar, one of those places.
Yeah, some place like that, yeah.
Whatever the hell.
No, I've never known you to make a mistake, so I wanted to.
Sorry to have feet of clay in your presence, sir. Yeah.
You're my hero, man.
Well, that's what I do. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
I appreciate that. There you go. Yeah. Farouk Balsara. I don't remember that. Is it Manzanar, Marzipan? What is that place?
Manzanar?
Is it one of those is a real place?
Xanadu?
Xanadu. All right.
Stop.
Well, there's no way to top that. Here's Tim Riley.
Time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Well, it's every driver's nightmare, crashing head-on into a logging truck. One person is dead from his driving on Highway 223 about 8 miles south of Monmouth and crashed into a fully loaded logging truck.
Now, they crashed into the logging truck?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
See, that's not every person's. That's
no,
not
mine
my
is
fear.
Driving next to a logging truck and the chain
breaks.
Snaps.
Yep. That's
squished.
That's exactly.
Logging trucks scare everyone. They should have separate roads for logging trucks.
I'm with you on that.
I 100% agree.
Or at least make those chains. Look, I'm the first to admit that maybe the chains are safe, but they don't look safe.
No, and you see those logs shifting and...
All you need is one link. That's the thing about those chains.
Okay, stop, Rick.
I'm just saying, the other 5,000 links can be fine. All you need is one link on one chain to go bad. And then, you are squished like grape, as Mr. Miyagi would say. You're right, they're rattling around on the truck, and they're going like 80 miles an hour.
And you can't get on either side because the traffic won't get out of the way.
They're so big, that's true, and it's always on a windy goddamn mountain road, like on your way to Silverton or something.
And they always are driving too fast.
Totally.
That makes me so nervous, because I'll be on the highway, going like 75, and they're passing me.
Hopped up on goofballs. I'm always on my way to Triple Falls or something, and they'll be and then, of course, they cause accidents also because people like me will just take my life in my hands getting into the oncoming lane to get around them. Mm-hmm. And then I'm killed by a Festiva. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, the town of Stevenson, Washington may slide down a hillside. Apparently, they're having some landslide problems, and now they're about to be hit by some heavy rain today. Things could get worse. Trees, rocks, and mud came crashing down into the gorge as the fast-moving landslide is bringing several homes even closer to the edge of disaster. Snapping trees sounded like firecrackers as they fell into Rock Creek. It was loud, very loud. So now there are problems that a good part of this town could slide down the hillside.
You're all going to die. Here's a creepy thing. I don't know how often anybody here has to drive through the gorge, but when you go through the gorge and you drive one of those places where, like, they've recently had a rock slide because you can see they've cemented it up.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be driving through the gorge. This is a relatable Thursday. But you drive down the gorge, and you'll see a bunch of rocks on the road or on the shoulder. And then you look up, and they've done that thing where they've pasted up a huge crack in one of the rock walls of the gorge with, like, stucco or something. And then you realize that had you been driving by just at the right time in the last day or so, you'd be dead.
What's wrong with you?
Well, we're all going to die.
You're very morbid today.
We're all going to die, sir.
Well, we always see those memorial flower sites like every 2 feet. Stop to look to cause another accident.
Totally. Exactly. Well, I told you, I almost died last weekend. A-hole almost hit me on it with his truck when I was bicycling. I was very nearly one of those white bicycles that you see, which is, that'll freak you out. So, no, cancer and garbage disposals will get you all. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, something more positive now. This is Democracy on the March.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Here's Democracy on the March for Thursday on the Rick Emerson Show.
Well, as the Bush administration ratchets up pressure on Iran, Vice President Cheney's top national security aide has been quoted by the Washington Post, the war with Iran is a real possibility this year.
I'm stunned.
This is a year of Iran. Yes, Vice President Cheney's National Security Advisor said during a recent meeting that the administration considers 2007 the year of Iran, and indicated the U.S. attack was a real possibility.
I'm going to have a breakout of my bomb Iran record from 1985 or whenever the hell that came out.
Meanwhile, citing the University of Freedom, or the Universality of Freedom, that's what the president said, the U.S. has an obligation to help people realize the blessings of freedom. You hear that, Scotty? All those well-meaning folks in the suburbs, listen up to this
one. Well, see, Scotty, see, he missed, Scotty, you missed signing up for the last war.
Yeah, here's a new one.
Here's a new one.
Thanks
to the Bush administration and its ever-spreading march of democracy, you have endless opportunities to sign up and serve your country in the military and be blown into small pieces, Scotty.
Him.
Lucky you.
We're acting on that principle. Since the attacks of September the 11th, we have been on the offense. I believe the best way to do our duty in securing the homeland is to stay on the offense.
Here's what I figured out. We'll play that soundbite again here in a second. Here's what it is. It's not just that he accents some words to show you that he's able to pronounce them. Listening to George Bush talk sometimes is like reading one of those web pages where somebody uses those Google AdSense things where certain words are highlighted and you can click on them and then like Google tries to sell you like a garden trowel or something. It's like, click here for more information on Homeland Security. Can you play that again? Listen to how he hits these certain things like they're hyperlinked.
We're acting on that principle.
Principle.
Since the attacks of September the 11th, we have been on the offense.
Offense.
I believe the best way to do our duty...
Duty.
...in securing the homeland is to stay on the offense.
Somebody must have...
But didn't he just say that we shouldn't be on the offense, but then he ended it by saying we should be on the offense?
I don't know.
It's the same thing.
I'm not even really paying attention anymore. I quit.
We don't want them coming over here bayoneting our babies.
Well, maybe you don't.
Meanwhile, the
really babies on spikes is what this country needs.
The president says, as Scotty often tells us, that freedom is accepted the world over.
I believe in the universality of freedom. And I believe that this country, this grand country of ours, has an obligation to help people realize the blessings of freedom.
Such as having your wedding bombed. All right. Well, there you go. This is DJ on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Yes, sir.
Hi.
He did a little tirade on logging trucks there, and I'm going to take it as trucks in general.
No,
trucks in general.
It wasn't a tirade. It was a tirade
about...
Okay, calm down, friend. All right. Calm down. All right. It was about logging trucks, and it's not a tirade. It's a fear. It's a phobia.
But you ranted about how dangerous they were. They shouldn't be allowed on the same roads.
Well, they're not dangerous. It's the fact that I'm terrified of them. And so because I'm terrified of them, I pass them recklessly in the oncoming lane to get around them. I'm dangerous.
That was one of my points. You were both saying how they're always speeding and doing, you know, 80.
That's true.
And
they're all on drugs.
Your life, and at the same time, you take your life in your hands passing them.
It's true. And they're on drugs,
too. You got to pick one or the other. Are they going too fast? You pass them.
Well, both. Think of how fast I have to go to pass a guy who's speeding on drugs.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
I have to go 100 miles an hour to get past one of those maniacs.
Do you know how many times? First of all, go back to the very first thing. The wreck on Independence.
I'm sorry?
The wreck near Independence or Monmouth.
Is that like the wreck of the Emmett Fitzgerald?
No. The log truck, the fatal wreck last night on 99.
Yes.
The account that I heard of it, the cars drifted into the log truck's lane. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, I think this...
Okay, then what was the log truck supposed to do on that? And why does that make the log truck a horrible thing to have on the road?
You got a lot of issues here, my friend. You're a little spiky.
And you're not listening, which is even more frustrating.
Yeah, seriously.
Calm down. Okay.
Calm down. Listen to me now. Listen.
Do not speak.
DJ? DJ?
Yes, sir.
Listen now. Do not speak.
Okay.
Listen to me now when I say this.
Okay.
The car last night was driven by someone who was apparently not all that bright and who drove into the log truck's path. That is a separate issue from the fact that we here are all terrified of logging trucks because they're driven by drug-fueled maniacs.
I see.
Okay?
I stand corrected.
Thank you, sir.
It's really not the log trucks you have a problem with. It's the maniacs behind the wheel.
Yes.
Okay.
We love logs. I have Lincoln logs as a child.
We all love logs. Logs, they roll downstairs, alone or in pairs.
Seriously, I got my 15 minutes of fame here. Can I say something I've always wanted to say to the public?
Yes, sir.
I go through Portland like 10 times a day. You would not believe how hard I try to keep a safe distance between me and the car in front, only to have cars come screaming around, pulling into that space that I've tried to save and slam on the brakes.
No, it's true. It's not just logging trucks driven by maniacs. Really, here's the thing. At any given moment, about 90% of the people around you anywhere are stupid. That's
well,
true.
We can agree on that one.
See, we can agree on that, DJ. All right. Thank you, sir.
You bet.
Thank you. There you go. That's DJ. There you go.
That turned out good.
Yeah, it did. No, I feel like he was, he felt we were painting with a broad brush.
No, I think we all have a deep love of logs.
Who doesn't like wood?
No, it is true, because it isn't the logging truck as such. It's that you have to become a crazy driver in order to get away from it. Yeah. You don't get squished by the log.
And it's that I don't care how safe the chain is. The chain doesn't look safe.
And
that's
what would Christmas be without logs in the fireplace?
That's exactly what I'm talking about. And what would those guys at the state fair chainsaw those bear sculptures out of? All right.
And where would we be without a program log?
It's okay. It lets us not forget the captain's log as well.
Okay, we need to stop.
All right.
Meanwhile, the president says...
Here's another one.
He repeated a call for Congress to continue ongoing funding of the efforts in Iraq and Afghanistan.
5 short years later, the Taliban have been driven from power, Al-Qaeda has been driven from its camps, and Afghanistan is free. That's why I say we have made remarkable progress.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, by the way, there are going to be more attacks on Afghanistan.
We can expect fierce fighting to continue.
That sounds fun.
Taliban and Al-Qaeda are preparing to launch new attacks. Our strategy is not to be on the defense, but to go on the offense.
All right, this is Andy.
Andy!
You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, sorry.
Yes, how can I help you?
Is he driving a log truck as we speak?
Yes.
I'm sitting in traffic, no doubt because of some pinhead driving a log truck whose log has fallen off.
That's Andy who said that, by the way, not me. Rick Emerson respects the men who are out there driving truck, as they say.
Good God. I drive like 1,000 miles a week, and I see these people driving their trucks in the fast lane. And it makes me want to hurt them.
Well, here's...
I just get really scared.
It is.
When they're passing you.
You know, did you ever see Final Destination North 2
when
the logs came off the log truck and the one
really?
Hit the guy's head?
Oh,
I don't ever want to see that.
Dude, yeah, it pops off somebody's head.
Oh, it's fantastic. But, I mean, every one of these guys, I swear to Christ, they try and get in my way. Like I said, I drive a lot. I try and be a good defense driver. But these guys are in a fast lane all the time, doing 70, 80 miles an hour. And they won't get out of my way. Why is that?
Well, I will say this. The vast majority of guys who are out there driving trucks are probably safe drivers, undoubtedly, but like anybody. But there are always a few bad apples, as they say. And sometimes, and I don't know whether they're independent truckers or not, they're not affiliated with the larger companies, but every one of us has had an encounter with some guy driving a truck that was just not paying attention, didn't know what he was doing. And I'll tell you this. There are few things scarier than being on a road, especially one of the smaller roads, and having to share it with a huge truck like that when you get the feeling he doesn't know what the hell he's doing.
Especially when they all have an accent like that guy did. Why do they all have an accent?
Oh, now, there's no need to engage in personal attacks, Andy. All right.
Well, that's what I do.
All right, thank you. All right, there you go. That's Andy.
And logs do keep America rolling, so we do need them.
Yes. Yes, they do, Tim. See, now it's just going to be...
Well, endless... Let's just make it clear that we respect truckers.
We do. And we're not anti-log.
We are not anti... Okay, you got a log fixation over there.
I have no idea.
My older brother Bob is a truck. I've been a truck driver for a long time. That's what he does. And I've said before that there's somewhere, I don't have it anywhere, but there's a picture of me being dropped off at my grade school when I was growing up, from me being dropped off out of a huge Freightliner truck, which was like the coolest thing ever. I was the coolest kid in class for about a day when I was in, like, I don't know, third grade. And he pulled into the St. Ignatius parking lot in the huge Freightliner truck and did the, like, and, like, honked the thing, and then I jumped out, and all my friends thought I was a badass. So here's the thing. If you're like a bad driver in the like your Ford Focus, that has one bit of impact on the road. If you're a bad driver in a gigantic truck filled with pieces of wood that weigh 100 tons, that makes a whole bigger impact. One of those is a lot more frightening than the other. That's the only thing I'm saying. Let's see. Skyler, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. How you doing?
I'm okay. I suspect we've entered one of those things, though, where it's going to be endless truck calls now. Go ahead.
Well, it could be. I mean, log trucks are scary, but I think the triple trailers going down the gorge in a storm are a little scarier.
There's, man, being next to, going down the gorge in a storm is scary, period. Especially if you're in a little car, your car gets tossed around. I remember driving down in a camper down the gorge and the wind throws you around. I will say this, though. You know, here's the thing about truckers in the gorge during a storm, and I mean this sincerely. You know what they're great for is if there is a snowstorm in the gorge, you find a truck, you stay behind it, and it's like that thing, you can follow that all the way into Portland. And
that
it keeps,
is true.
Keeps the snow broken up, and it gives you some taillights to follow. And those guys, and you know, that's what, when you really appreciate those trucks. You need somebody to follow into Portland.
Well, I think the Rick Emerson Show should push some legislation that says semis can't be on the road in the Portland metro area between 6 and 8 a.m. and 5 and 7 p.m., and that would eliminate all the problems of traffic in Portland.
You know what I'm going to do before that? Here's the first thing I'm going to do when I get into office. I'm going to say that trains can't be, the trains have got to stop during rush hour. Trains during rush hour can't be going across the goddamn road and making those, you know, deep, 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 deep things going down. So, and I'm just gonna, I don't care how much money it takes. Those bridges here, that the Hawthorne Bridge and the whatever, the bridges that go up, we're just gonna tear down those bridges and we're gonna build some bridges that are taller so that they don't have to raise the goddamn bridge every time a sailboat wants to go underneath. That's what we're gonna do. Think of how much faster, think of how many years of your life, by the time you die, you will have spent waiting for a boat that doesn't really need the bridge to go up. You're sitting there waiting for the bridge to go up and back down again for like some tiny little sport boat beneath there.
Or retractable mast. Yes. Push that one, too.
Seriously. Or, you know, anyway, so there you go.
Love you, Rick.
Thank you. That's Skyler. All right.
A lot of people seem to love you today.
Well, it's
day after Valentine's Day.
Yeah, it's a lot of built-up love that's got to come out somewhere, Sarah. This is just truck drivers calling to yell at me.
I feel like we're some cheesy radio talk show right now.
No, right now we're a cheesy radio talk show. No, this is you know what it is. I joke about this, but this is a thing that people in Portland, not people in a lot of cities, don't have to deal with this. Depending on where you live, you know, this is the people in this country that have never had to drive next to a log truck on some weird Malala back road. I mean, that is a very, it's not just Portland, but it is a very northwestern thing.
I don't want people to misconstrue that we're saying something bad when, in fact, it's
where did you get that? Where did you get Convoy from? Oh, that's fantastic. Have I ever told you my idea for this song? Was this in the Metro News server? No, you too. Fantastic. Oh, is there a video for this?
Uh-huh. It was the dark of the moon on the 6th of June in a Kenworth hauling logs. Cab over Pete with a reefer on and a Jimmy hauling hogs. We're heading for Bear on I-10.
Well, these days are gone forever. This could never be a single now.
Here's a rubber duck and I'm about to put the hammer down on it.
Fantastic. Let's see. What are we doing here? I get all of these truck driver calls to get through. Oh, I have this great idea, though. I've been pushing this every year. Maybe I'll just do it myself. If nobody else is going to do this, I'll just do it myself this year. I have this great idea, and it's a Christmas song, and it's Christmas Convoy. And the theme of the song is that Santa's sled is broken down. Can't get anywhere. The truckers of America unite to deliver all of Santa's toys on one night. Truckers from every land. Truckers from all over the world.
Are there any crippled children involved?
Irani truckers. What?
Any crippled children involved?
Yes, yes.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, kid missing
an
eye.
Can you get to ride in the truck?
I don't know, maybe. But it's like, we got a Christmas convoy. And then there's jingle sleigh bells in the background. And the whole deal is, you bring back, what's his name, Chip Freeze, to do the narration again. Santa can't get his toys delivered because the sleigh is broken down. Truckers from all over the world, in every land, of all colors and creeds, they unite to deliver all of Santa's toys. Christmas Convoy. I wouldn't even have to pay royalties to that guy.
I think
it's a parody.
They've probably already done that.
They haven't. If they have, it's because they stole it from me. Because I've been pushing that idea for years. I'll tell you right now, if nobody's done that by November of this year, I'm just doing it myself. I'm taking the bull by the horns.
What?
What was that?
Can you hear that?
Yes. Yes, I can.
That's not me. That's Tim. Are you looking at the same thing I
am? Are you playing Red Sylvine?
Sure I am.
All right, let's listen to some.
It's loading right now.
All right, we'll play that into the break. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Okay.
I'm taking away your sound tip.
Well, we're going to play Red Sylvine later.
Okay.
Well, I don't know if your card-o-matic's going to fire with that cueing, just so you know.
Okay.
All right.
Well, let me take this down.
All right.
All right. It's time now for the Jock Watch.
Here's your Jock Watch for Thursday on the Rick Emerson radio program.
Yeah.
Here's your Jock Watch. Well, this song has never been more appropriate.
In the wake of a retired NBA player announcing publicly that he's a homosexual, another former NBA player says he wouldn't have wanted him as a teammate. Tim Hardaway, whose point guard play for Golden State and Miami earned him top trips to the All-Star games in the 90s, said on a Miami sports radio talk show yesterday that he is homophobic, and he says he wouldn't want to play with a gay teammate.
First of all, I wouldn't want him on my team. And second of all, you know, if he was on my team, I would, you know, really distance myself from him because I don't think that's right. And, you know, I don't think that, you know, he should be in a locker room while we're in a locker room. And it's just a whole lot of other things. So I wouldn't even be a part of that. But, you know, it's stuff like that going on, and there's a lot other people out here like that that's still in the closet and don't want to come out the closet, but, you know, I just leave that alone.
You know, and if you read the interview with this guy, if you read the transcript, there is that phrase about protesting a little too much. I'm just going on and on and on and on and on about it. And it was really like answering so far past the close. Like when the guy says, what do you think about it? And rather than just going, well, look, this is my belief, or this is what the Bible says, or whatever, the guy just goes on endlessly just about it, like way more than I think you would really need to, unless there was some other reason lurking inside your heart.
Hardaway says he fully admits he is homophobic.
I hate gay people, so
welcome to 1950.
You know, I let it be known. I don't like gay people. I don't like to be around gay people. I don't, you know, I'm homophobic. I don't like it. It shouldn't be in the world for that, or in the United States for it. So yeah, I don't like it.
Well, because I'm sure that
maybe he should play for the Jamaican League.
Because I'm sure his mailbox is going to be full of Christmas invites this year anyway. I'm sure that he's going to be missing out on all of those gay parties he was going to be invited to, because he clearly seems like such a likable guy.
Mm-hmm. Hardaway is asked how he would have reacted if he knew a teammate was gay.
Oh, is that? I think it's being blocked by Red Sylvine.
Probably so. Let's see here. The former NBA player who started this whole thing, John Amici, who recently admitted he's gay, says homophobia affects society.
That's really weird. Is Tim's computer, can you...
It's up. Yeah, it's all the way up.
All right. Them, I don't know where that's coming from. That might be a conflict with that YouTube window that's up there.
Okay, well, it's not up anymore. Let's try another one. Tim Hardaway's car wash is closed this morning. Instead, people calling the car wash got an answering machine message instead.
Tim Hardaway presents U.S. 1 Finest and Car Wash. Our hours of operation are 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. 7 days a week.
He sounds really smart.
Your name and number and a representative will call you back as soon as possible. Thank you.
You know, here's the thing about, like, here that, and I went there and I read the entire transcript of all of this guy, and I heard some of that audio yesterday, and it just makes me want to go find him and just give him a big, long, forceful kiss. It really does, just more than anything. It's like when I was in that, and I can't remember if this is something I said on the air or if this is just a thing I was, like, talking about one day in the studio, but I was over visiting our, I probably shouldn't say it, I don't want it to come across like it was his idea, but I was visiting a friend of ours who works over at KXL, where Lars Larson does his exciting radio program. And I was there, and this is when I was off the air, I guess, is when this program was not being aired during the Great Unpleasantness Part 2. And I go in there, and Lars is doing his show, and of course, you know, the fat bastard is on television, too. It's like they simulcast it. It's just, well, he fills up, and literally, I mean, and he's a fireplug of a man. The thing about Lars is, you see him I don't know if anybody's ever done a full body shot of him. Like, have you? When is the last time you saw a publicity photo of Lars Larson that showed him from the top of his head to his toes? Those shots don't exist. You know why? Because he's about 2 feet tall. He's 2 feet tall, and he's a squat man. That's what Lars Larson is. He is, you hear about some men being barrel-chested. He's not really barrel-chested. He's just sort of a barrel. I mean, he's just sort of low to the ground and just sort of real wide. He's sort of like a Tweedledum-looking kind of guy. Anyway, so I'm there, and he's doing his radio program, and then there's the camera in there, too, and I think the camera on his radio show, I think it's just like a static, it's just like a one-shot. It's just like an unmoving camera. It's like a webcam that films his radio program, and then it flings it on the television for fat housewives to watch. But I'm in there watching Lars do his radio program through the window, and I got to tell you, it was so tempting. It was so tempting just to run in and just give him a full-on kiss on the mouth. And then, like, grab his junk real quickly. And then just run away. It would have been so satisfying on so many levels. And so that's what I want to do to this guy, too. This Tom Hardaway guy or whatever. So,
Rick, I have a present for you.
Yes?
Now let's downshift to the holiday spirit with Christmas Convo.
Oh, come on!
Star shone bright that summer, 590 miles out of Main Street. All in gold and myrrh and frankincense, three kings put the hammer down.
Oh, come on!
Christmas Convo, ain't she a beautiful face? We got a roll this fucking convo.
That ain't right. Oh, turn it off. I don't want to hear any more of that.
King of the Jews.
What? Let's go back and hear that again. No, seriously.
I don't know.
What the hell was that? Holiday greetings from Tom Metzger.
Christmas convoy. Star shone bright that silent night, 90 miles out of Manchester.
Out of what manger town? This is a homemade recording.
I guess it was a Simpsons episode.
We got a Christmas convoy. Ain't she a beautiful face? We got a bold new trucking convoy. You see the newborn king.
King of the Jews.
Is that from The Simpsons?
Yeah, well, it initially was. I don't think that was
it,
though.
Oh, sons of bitches. That was my idea.
It was an episode of The Simpsons that probably you were watching when you were half asleep
that
and that
not
idea
true.
Embedded in your head.
Not true. That has been my idea for the longest time.
Okay.
I have had that idea, the Christmas convoy. Now, why do you got to hate?
That's embarrassing yourself.
Be busy grabbing Lars's package on television. Think if you'd been just some idiot housewife at home watching Lars, and then suddenly just like at that point, just some scraggly haired guy had just run into the frame and kissed him and just grabbed his genitals and then run away. I mean, think of how disturbing that would be if you were just some person sitting in Tiger watching that program. It would have been worth whatever the punishment was. It might be worth it now. I should just do that. I should just do it someday during the show. A little cross-promotion, that's what we'll call it. All right. Are we still on the Jock Watch? Well, anyway, so what's his name? Tim Hardaway?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's an idiot. So there
that's
you go.
The end of it.
So there you go. Fantastic. There's your Jock Watch. So F that guy. I mean that literally. All right, we'll be back after this. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Are you going to Red Sylvanus into the break, Tim?
I'll try to find it.
All right. For King of the Jews. All right. While Tim is getting red so fine, let me get this one call here. Paul, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick. How's
hey,
going?
What's up?
Hey, I'm just, one of those angry truckers calling you.
All right. Now, do you understand that we do not dislike truckers?
Oh, I know. I'm just giving you a bad time.
All right. We love delivery drivers of any kind. They're like 98% of our audience.
Hey, as somebody who used to drive those triples down the gorge,
yes,
they're not dangerous at all.
Well, no, it's not that they're really dangerous. Just like most logging trucks aren't dangerous. It just, they seem so dangerous. They seem so scary.
With the triples, you just drive, and you really don't look in your mirrors unless you have to, because that center trailer does what it wants to.
Right.
As long as the back one's following you, you're fine.
Yeah, I see, and that's all well and good for you in the truck, but when you're me and you're driving in a 1980 Ford Escort, and there's like a whiteout happening, that's when they seem terrifying.
Yeah, if there's wind, don't pass.
Yeah, thanks.
Because that whole truck can only weigh 80 or 105.5 anyway. Total weight, so you know, the heaviest trailer is the first one. The lightest one is the rear trailer.
No, it's just one of those things that, like, from an outside perspective, from the guy in the car, those trucks just seem like the most terrifying thing ever. And I realize that it's like people who are afraid of flying. I know flying's safe, but flying's still scary for a lot of people. Most logging trucks, I mean, look, I'm not here. I haven't been killed by a logging truck. But every time I pass one, I think I'm going to die. Every time.
You probably will, because, you know, that's how I learned to drive truck was on log trucks. And, you know, to learn how to power slide one using the trailer brakes on a gravel road is actually kind of fun.
That's the other thing, by the way, and this is another thing that you only see in this part of the country. I guess you see it elsewhere, but you see a lot of this part of the country. Those, one of those things called, off the highways, those, like, ramps that end in a big pit of sand, like runaway ramps, is that what those are called?
Yeah.
Those are terrifying because, and those are ramps that trucks can use if their brakes go out. And every so often, I don't know, every couple of years, I'll be driving by a runaway ramp and I'll see a truck up in there and you realize that his brakes went out while he was, and that'll stay in your head the rest of the trip.
That's usually from a flatlander, the guy who's never been on this side of the Rockies.
Right. All right. Thank you, Paul. I appreciate you listening. Spread the word, brother.
Oh, you bet, man.
That's Paul. All right. Where's that hum? Is that your computer?
I can hear a hum.
All right. That hum is coming. Yeah, that hum is coming from somewhere. All right. Do you have the red Sovine?
I have a little bit of it.
All right.
We'll play some of it.
We'll take this into the break here. It's 503-733-2970. We'll come back. Kelly and Pat wish to talk to us about something or other. More of Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. Later on, Jim Roop, Ed McCarthy about Anna Nicole Smith, some fantastic Anna Nicole Smith sound. Storm Large and Delana and Magni from Rockstar Supernova will be here. So come on back and talk to Teddy Bear, won't you? The Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, Solid State Radio.
I was on the outskirts of a little southern town, trying to reach my destination before the sun went down. The old CB was blaring away on Channel 19 when there came a little boy's voice on the radio line. And he said, "Breaker 19, is anyone there? Come on back, truckers, and talk to Teddy Bear." Well, I keyed the mic and I said, "You got it, Teddy Bear." And the little boy's voice came back on the air. "Appreciate the break. Who we got on that end?" I told him my handle and then he began. "Now, I'm not supposed to bother you fellas out there. Mom says you're busy and for me to stay off there. But you see, I get lonely and it helps to talk. 'Cause that's about all I can do. I'm crippled and I can't walk." I came back and told him to far up that mic.
I talked to him as long as he liked.
"This was my dad's radio," the little
Kid
boy
Bear
said.
With Subban.
"King of the Jews."
But I guess it's...
And we're done. Let's take a break, kids. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Rick, I just heard your news report about the driver who ran into the log truck. This reminded me of an incident I will never forget. I was going down the freeway, 60 miles an hour, in back of a huge log truck. You know, the ones with all the stacked huge logs tied up to the chain. Yeah. In what seemed like a split second, one of those logs came loose and flew off the truck right through my windshield. Thankfully, it went through the driver's side. I think she means the passenger side. And I am dead. Went through the driver and the passenger.
Look, corpses typing to you.
Went to the passenger side and I was alone. To this day, it happened 25 years ago. I'm still terrified of those trucks. I will go out of my way not to drive behind one. I live in fear it will happen again. Yeah, I would imagine so. All right,
that's totally Final Destination in where she just avoided it.
Let's see. Well, let me get a couple of these and then we'll continue with the news here. Coming up later on, Storm Large will be here as well as Delana and Magni from Rockstar Supernova. Kelly, hello.
Hi.
Kelly. Hey, what's up?
Well, I used to live in the Gorge, and my dad actually was a truck driver. And I just wanted to let you know there's nothing worse. Like, I'm 18 years old, so I really have no room to speak for inexperienced drivers. But there's nothing worse than, like, two semis in, like, a three-lane. They're using up two of the lanes
and
everyone else.
Yeah, and you have to go between them at some point.
Yeah, and then all their water just sprays up on your windshield. It's like, thanks. Thanks a lot.
That's the worst thing, too, is if it's raining or snow, is ice, the same way, when you know you can't stay behind them because they're throwing back so much water and snow on your windshield, but you know that to pass them, there is that 4 or 5 second death zone where you are right at the right angle where it just saturates your windshield and you can't, and the only choice you have is just to slam the gas down and blow past them as quickly as possible.
And because I'm a delivery driver and I drive a van, I have to, like, literally step on the gas, but it takes me, like, a 5 minute delay
And you're having,
and I'm here, and I'm like, my windshield wipers are, like, the crappy ones that keep, like, messing up.
Totally.
And here I am, and I'm trying to, like, get past these huge trucks, and they're both going the same exact speed, which I think is funny. Why would you pass a truck that's going the same exact speed you are?
Totally. There is that window of time before you get ahead of them where you cannot see anything, and you're just praying that nothing happens because you won't be able to see it.
Exactly. I just wanted to say also that I love you, Sarah. Tim, you rock. And Rick Emerson, you are awesome.
Well, cool. Thank you.
I'm trying to rock.
You spread the word. Tim rocks lightly.
Okay.
You call us anytime, Kelly. You spread the word, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Kelly. There you go.
I'm a soft rocker.
Yes.
Yeah. You're a light rocker.
Tim rocks inside. Pat, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi, Rick.
Hey.
When you were alluding to the frustration you have trying to get over the bridge with the ships that go underneath,
mm-hmm.
I want to tell you, take that frustration and multiply it by a factor of about 20, because living in Vancouver, we face that. Except, I know there's two bridges, but you know what, on a practicality basis, it's not really viable once you're in traffic and you're stuck on one to go try and hop into the other.
Right, yeah, no, once you're on one, you're there. Yeah,
yeah, you're there, and it is so frustrating. And the other thing of it is the big beluga you were referring to a few minutes ago on Brand X and another one on a Brand X station in town, they had they're really pro-business. Boy, business can do no wrong. And they had absolutely no problems with Wally World wanting to put in a new store right there at Jansen Beach. You know, by God, business, they should have a right to go wherever they want and blah, blah, and it won't be a problem.
Now, the traffic in that area is just insane, too. I have tried. There have been some times when I've had to go see when my friend Joni lives in Vancouver, and I'll have to go over there, and it's always some meeting that's at 6 p.m., You know what I mean? And you get there, and it's like, seriously, you feel like you could just curl up in the back of your car and take a nap because the traffic moves so slowly.
Exactly, and they've supposedly had times when they're not supposed to lift the bridge, but it seems like, I don't know, it seems like all that kind of goes away or something when they have a ship that needs to get under it. It's, I don't know, maybe the ships have the right-of-way or something, but at least, in your situation downtown, if the Hawthorne's going up, you can hop over to the...
No, the Coug, you're screwed. Yeah, out there in Vancouver, you're effed. Yeah, you got nothing.
And they're not getting the situation done at all.
It's time for revolution, Pat.
Oh, absolutely. I'll meet you downtown on next Tuesday, and we'll start it.
Okay, thank you. There you go. Attention, Secret Service. All right, that's Pat. Thank you, Pat. We appreciate it. There you go. And this is the last thing I'll say about this train thing, but the trains are the worst. Where it's like 8:45 in the morning, and that train down by OMSI will go by, and it just
and it goes by at like 3, like every day, I think around 3:30 or 3:45. So if I don't get out of here in time, then I get stuck there.
I know trains got to go and people got to eat, but I mean, come on. The train ought to go between 9 p.m. and 5 a.m. That's it. If it takes longer to get there, it doesn't matter. The cars are more important.
And what's on the train that anyone wants?
Well, that's all they're doing. All they're doing is hauling sawdust and graffiti. That's it. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, JetBlue Airlines is more like black and blue today.
Uh-uh.
After having to apologize to hundreds of passengers for massive delays yesterday at New York's JFK Airport, caused in part by the snowstorm, passengers sat on the tarmac for up to 11 hours on 10 planes that were stranded at Kennedy.
We boarded the plane around 8 o'clock. We taxied out. And that was about that. We were basically left there. We were stuck on there with like 140 people. There were like at least 40 kids that were on the plane.
Kill me.
And there we sat until we brought buses out.
Can you imagine?
11 hours?
Can you
imagine? Toilets overflowed. There was no air. Children screamed.
And they won't let you off. That's the thing.
Oh.
They won't let you off the plane in a situation like that.
Oh, that would be so frustrating.
And, you know, that's why I feel bad for people in that situation who end up going to jail because they go violent.
Uh-huh.
I would totally go violent.
Trapped on a plane with 40 screaming children?
Think about how long
air.
A plane flight is. Like, if you're flying from, like, I fly from here to wherever, you know, Utah or whatever, and it's, you know, a few hours, and it can be excruciating. Somebody's just like, God, I want to get off this plane. Think about how excruciating it is after the plane has landed, and you're waiting for them to, like, whatever, open the door so you can get off and get back out to the airport. And that's, like, what, 10 minutes, 15 maybe, while you're waiting for the plane to...
And it feels like forever.
Yeah, and you're just like, come on! I got to get to the bar, you know, whatever it is. Imagine being on a plane for 11 hours, no toilet, they won't let you off, and there's kids screaming everywhere. I mean, 11 hours, that's enough for your battery and your iPod to drain, for your all your batteries to go dead. And it's no wonder people just snap. And then they get hauled up after 9/11. You do that, you get hauled up and put in the pokey. That's no good.
Mm.
So yeah, that sucks. All right, is your sister flying JetBlue?
She is today.
All right, Heather.
She's to pick her up tonight.
Have fun. Let's see, Chris, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
This is the Fat Man. Anyway, I had a contest for your esteemed guests as they come in
for Delana and Magni.
Uh huh.
Okay.
Tell them that you guys do animal sounds. Do a lion. Do an elephant. Do that special sounder, and do a dog, and see if they can guess what all those animals are.
Oh, that just sounds awkward.
I don't understand.
The crying?
Uh-huh.
Oh.
See if they can guess the animals.
That thing about the Delana sounder is so awkward.
Yeah, I know.
I got a whole bunch of people are like, you got to play that low version where he's mixing it with the Fat Boys, and
Oh, yeah, we had a full-blown contest about that.
Yeah, which I can totally admit to, but I think playing it on the air might be one step too far.
Should I be going too far?
Yeah, I believe so, sir. But thank you for the suggestion.
All righty.
All right, there ought to be a Star Wars 1980s detective show called Jake and the Fett Man. It's Boba Fett. No, that's a dumb idea. Let's skip that. Rick, is it just me or is that song Teddy Bear totally creepy now? I have this vision of Michael Jackson or Mark Foley or possibly Tim Hardaway listening to a CB radio in hope of finding a young boy to spend quality time with. It is a creepy song, actually. It's really just one step away from, like, a lot of phone sex with a crippled boy. What the hell are we doing here? Rick. Oh, this is about trading spouses. Well, I'll read that later. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, the Valentine Vampire is behind...
Oh. Your microphone's not on.
I'm sorry. Well, the Valentine Vampire remains behind bears...
behind bars. Let's try again.
I'm just thinking too much about that Red Sylvine song. The Valentine Vampire remains behind bars without bond. Tempe, Arizona Police Sergeant Mike Corn said it all began around midnight Valentine's Day when a man and a woman were lying naked in bed.
And at one point, the female looks over to the male and asks if he's interested in some kinky sex, and he consented to being tied up, and she tied him up with his own belt.
Yes, after the woman tied the man up with his own belt, things got weird.
I call shenanigans.
He reached across him, grabbed a knife, and cut him on his inner thigh. Understandably, he became quite alarmed at this and asked her what she was doing. She told him she likes to drink blood. Then, according to the victim, she did drink some of his blood.
Oh.
Yeah, that's pretty hot. She's if you really look at the story, it's true. Mm-hmm. If you look at the story, she looks a little grubby in that photo, but you can tell that she probably cleans up pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't really see the rest of her, just her face. So I don't know what her body looks like or anything, but she's not an ugly woman.
Well, she loves blood.
She began to cut him at his upper body area. Eventually, he was able to free himself enough where he could escape out of the room that they were in. And according to the victim, ran out, and she followed him, carrying what he described as a pickaxe.
Okay. I call so many shenanigans on this story, though. First of all, he's 45. She's 23. It doesn't seem... And the version of the story I have... I don't know if I've got it over here or not. I don't. The version of the story I have is that she, quote... This is his story, his claim. That she, quote, tricked him into kinky sex. First of all, you don't have to trick a guy into kinky sex or any kind of sex. That's not a thing. Is this... All right, here we go. Let's see. Tiffany Sutton... Tiffany. Well, that's you know she's trouble right there. Tiffany... Sutton apparently wanted to drink up her lover on Valentine's Day, literally. Police arrested Sutton, who they believe may have tricked her acquaintance read guy at a bar, into having, quote, kinky sex, end quote, so she could drink his blood. Which you don't trick somebody into kinky sex. You say, would you like to engage in some sort of kinky behavior? And then they either say yes or no or whatever. The victim, 45, and Sutton, 23, were lying in bed naked early Wednesday, which implies that they've already had sex at least once, when Sutton asked if he wanted to be tied up, and he consented. Now, this is what, that he was apparently tied up. Sarah's arms are folded in a body.
I'm listening.
Your body language indicates that this story makes you uncomfortable.
No. I'm just, yeah, that guy seems kind of like a tool. If he says that he wants to be tied up by a crazy lady that he just slept with, then...
Well, that's the thing. First of all, it seems like they've already... See, I wasn't going to say that. They've already had sex, apparently.
Well, he's not dead, is he?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
But they said that the cops are claiming she tied him up, tied him to the bed with his belt.
See, there's a certain kind of person that wants to be tied up. Like, if you want to put yourself in a submissive position like that with somebody that you're not really familiar with, things are going to happen.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And that's not me, by the way. I'm not...
Originally, he was hoping for cannibalism.
I am, That's the thing that I don't find, that alluring at all.
Me either.
Will you tie me down and kick me in the testicles? Please? That's just not my deal.
Oh, I need to show you my friend's website. The girl that I met in L.A. who's, the kicker. Never mind.
We'll talk about that in a while.
Okay.
No, but here's why I call shenanigans. Can you play that first sound clip again from the guy, the cop, about this? See if you can spot the shenanigans in this.
And at one point, the female looks over to the male and asks if he's interested in some kinky sex. And he consented to being tied up. And she tied him up with his own belt.
Okay, right there. How can you really adequately tie a grown man to a bed just using his own belt? There's just no way. Because you could
either be arms or legs.
Arms or legs, or wrists together, ankles together, right? Or you could tie, like, one arm to, like, a bedpost, maybe. Or maybe...
Maybe she looped them together? Like, all four of them?
We're so lame.
No.
We're so lame at being kinky.
Oh, you know why you want to talk about this? Because you want to have your special dominatrix.
Oh, I actually didn't think about that, but that's a good idea. Because we were talking about the leather zip-up hood mask thing. And then that woman called up who had been a professional dominatrix. And then she asked to be my MySpace friend. Did I show you her picture?
No.
She's cute. Scotty touches the screen. I have her number. I know. I won't make the obvious joke. I know I asked you to get. Well, maybe not right now. But I'm just saying, the only way I could see this is if he has like a bed with whatever, like if a headboard that has like bars or something. Because then you could tie, I guess, his wrists together and then around. But that's got to be a long ass belt. And
he's
even
a bigger man.
Well, and even then, his legs are going to be free, and so it seems like the minute you see a knife, you totally kick her away. So I am guessing that he consented to be tied up a little more, or, and it says here, they were drinking and doing drugs. So I'm guessing, here's what happens. He goes to the bar. This guy meets a woman half his age, who's a little attractive, obviously pretty kinky. They go home. They get high. They're drinking. They have sex. She then says, I want to try something a little more kinky. He finds it a little strange, or maybe he finds it kind of a turn on. She starts doing it. Then he realizes it's much less fun in the concrete than it is in the abstract as soon as she begins cutting him. And that's when he freaks out. I'm telling you right now, this is one of those things where he said yes and then he changed his mind halfway through. And that's why she said, that's why she's been arrested. I'll guarantee you that. She, quote, likes to drink blood and made several cuts to his upper body and cut his leg. See, this, you can't, unless you're stabbing, which is really quickly, that was
taken. Was she, how deep were these cuts?
I don't know. Well, enough that she, quote, the cops said, quote, Sutton drank a little bit of his blood. And I'm assuming that means licking. But even then...
But drank is a weird term because it seems like they would have to be in something.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I call shenanigans, because...
It's really just some chick who sliced him up a little bit, gave him a little licking, and then...
That's what I'm saying, but I'll guarantee you that he thought it was hot and then changed his mind at some point. Because, think about it, because unless you're stabbing, which is really quickly, if somebody's on the bed and you start to cut their leg and they're not into it, they're going to be moving and flailing, and you're not going to have any time to cut the rest of them, much less start drinking any of their blood. So it seems like he had to have been cooperative with this for some period of time. All right, well, there you go. I told you about that. Have I told you about that girl and the blood drinking?
No.
Never mind. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Well, that was an enlightening story.
Yes.
And now let's go to, I guess we have an Anna Nicole watch now.
Oh, do it. Do we have the Anna watch?
Did you do it?
It's still just the raw one.
Infancy.
Because I can't find the other one. I can't find a clean version. And by clean, I mean with good audio of the Anna Nicole. If somebody can find me that, if somebody out there can send me the Anna Nicole, you know, the Anna Nicole theme song from her VH1 show, that would be fantastic. Because all I've got is this kind of gnarly sounding one that's off the net. But it'll have to do for now. Ladies and gentlemen, here's your Anna watch.
Well, all right. It's time for more DNA testing on what may be left of Anna Nicole Simpson. Or Anna Nicole Smith.
Anna Nicole Simpson really ought to be, Sarah, that ought to be your Halloween costume this year.
Broward County Judge Larry Seedlin has ordered Broward County Medical Examiner Joshua Perper, that's the guy with the cone head, to conduct a cheek swab of Anna Nicole this afternoon. The judge says he wants to make sure all testing is completed and get it right the first time, no matter how long it takes.
When we bury her, I want it to be forever. I want her, whatever resting place she receives, she should have peace on earth forever. And I don't want to put myself, this court, or any other court in a position where 20 years from now we're exhuming a body.
Have a bagel. Ew. And now listen, this is... I'm going to play this. This is sent to us by Luke in Australia, who gets the news earlier because he's there by the Dateline or whatever the hell it is. So he
didn't get the day early.
I did not believe this was real. I actually had to go online and verify. I thought this was fake. Luke in Australia sent this to me, and he said, check out this judge in the Anna Nicole Simpson case, what he said about her body.
Anna
Nicole Smith. He said, check out this Anna Nicole Smith judge thing. And I emailed back. I'm like, you're effing with me. This isn't real. And it is real. This is from it's not Fox. I think it's CBS News or whatever. But this is from the actual TV broadcast. This is what the judge says, because Anna Nicole Smith's body is now, I guess, the property of Florida. It doesn't belong to the family, in other words, right now. So this is what he says. Listen.
I'm not releasing a body. This body belongs to me now. I'm not releasing the body. From what I read, this body's staying right here. We'll decide how we, what condition and what place we put the body, but the body belongs to me now. Cold, but it won't decompose so fast. That baby is on a cold, cold storage room. It's not decaying so fast. I can go over there now and look at it.
How great is that? I can go over there now. Let's all go. Field trip. How fantastic is that?
He totally sounds like he's going to go prove it. You want to see it?
I'm not releasing him, but his body belongs to me now.
Here's the creepy thing is, if I told you that was Howard K. Stern, you'd totally believe it. That's exactly what you imagine Howard K. Stern saying. Those are exactly the kind of thoughts. That's fantastic. All right. Do we have, is there more? I mean, of course there's more. I mean, there's like endless.
There's plenty of stuff. Seedlin said the Broward County Sheriff's Department came to the judge requesting the body not to be moved.
So the Sheriff's Department now is telling me they may be asked to do further death examination of this body. They came to me in an emergency manner.
The judge said the overriding issue in this case is Daniel Lynn. What is in the best interest of the baby?
The child would only come into play if the child was over 18 years of age. The child is 5 months old. The statute is very clear that after that comes the parent, which is my client, and that's our whole position here.
Yeah. Right. And this is
I'm not releasing a body. This body belongs to me now.
That's fantastic. I love that. All right. Man, it's 1:00.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh boy.
We probably got a break because we got Ed McCarthy coming up. About Anna Nicole Smith. All right. And then we got Mike, who has a truck story. Jeff, who has a question about Whoopi Goldberg. And so forth. It's 503-733-2970. You know who this is?
I'm not releasing the body.
Jim Cramer.
It belongs to me now. I'm not releasing the body.
It totally sounds like a more sedate Jim Cramer. All right. There's your Anna watch. Back after this, it's 503-733-2970. You stay right there. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Coming up, Ed McCarthy, more of Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Later on, Jim Roop and Delana and Magni from Rockstar Supernova. Don't go anywhere.